Good evening, everybody. We're the Tri-State Sports Guys coming to you live from beautiful downtown Norwalk, Connecticut. I'm Mike DePalma. My co-host Neil is not around today. He's actually got a gig, I think, at Gotham Comedy Club in Manhattan. So good luck to Neil. He's kind of a jerk, never shows up anymore. But, at heart, he's an awful person. Tony D is out on the scene tonight. I don't know what he's doing. He's at some bar trying to sweet talk some beautiful baby to love him a little bit more. So instead, we have a very special guest sitting beside me. He used to come on early on, and then I think once his best friend O left the show, he really had turned on the Tri-State Sports Guys. He used to be like a regular reoccurring guest at the beginning. Great Paco P. Hitter. Paco, how are you, brother?
How's everybody doing tonight? Good.
Oh, great.
Missed the show.
Yeah, I know. You're nowhere to be found anymore. You're too much of a big timer.
I don't talk to O anymore. He was too big time for me.
Well, he big leagues all of us.
Now I'm trying to just get back in with Mike since O doesn't talk to me anymore. He has a certain amount of friends that he hangs out with.
I hear you, dude. All right. Well, yeah, it's a whole different ball game here. You have to have played professional sports at some level to hang out with O. So we fell just short.
There you go.
Collegially didn't try. We got a lot to get to today. It's actually a very good show, and we're going to touch on college sports, which we don't normally talk about, other than a little bit of college football later in the Notre Dame run. But obviously, we're going to get into our bracket busters and all that talk, and that's why we brought Paco in. He's a little bit more astute with his college basketball knowledge than I am. But we're going to start out with the World Baseball Classic. Now, Paco, I'm going to ask you. I would say you're a good baseball fan, not like a diehard like me, but you're a good baseball fan. Were you into the World Baseball Classic? I mean, I think you're the kind of guy they're kind of targeting. Somebody like me is going to watch it. But I want to know, were you into it? Did you watch it, A, and if you didn't watch it, were you at least following it, knew what was going on?
I watched it when I came across it on the TV. I didn't seek out a game to watch.
Yeah.
There were things about it that made me really interested. There were things about it that really turned me off.
Yeah.
So there were times where I even turned it on for a little while, and that I'd like to talk about, where I would see some players that put their heart and soul into it, and you see them playing for these teams that are paying them $10 to $15 million, and they could care less.
Well, that's kind of been the topic today in New York, because everybody said, why all of a sudden you see Jose Reyes and Robinson Cano busting out ground balls in the hole and all this stuff, and you don't see them do that. Haley Ramirez is the guy who's like the lollygagger to beat all lollygaggers, and these guys are killing themselves to win for the Dominican. And, there were people defending them saying, it's different in 162 games. And playoff baseball, you will see a guy like Robinson Cano hustle, which I kind of get. And kind of the argument there is, these guys, they know when to fake it and when not to. But there's certain things that, especially Haley Ramirez does, that is just inexcusable. Not hustling out a routine ground ball, the shortstop. I mean, I'm a guy who always hustle things out, so I'm kind of. But I almost see that. If you're playing 162 games, but a guy's not hustling after a ball that got by him. Remember that play? And it basically was the end of Van Lee's days.
Oh, man.
When he started really turning on him in Miami, where a ball got by him, and he just kind of walked after it and let the guy go. Run around the bases. There's no excuse for that. But then this year, he's just dropping bombs and 500-foot home runs against Ari Dickey. So that's something that frustrates you.
Right? Apparently a guy who I'm keeping my fantasy team, and now I might be injured for playing in this World Baseball Classic.
I've never seen a diagnosis like this. He's out for 2 to 10 weeks.
Yeah, you have no idea.
He's back tomorrow, or he's out for a year.
It's unbelievable.
2 to 10 weeks? I've never seen
that. I mean, you got all these players that, you question if you're the owner of the New York Mets. Do you really want him playing?
I know, and that's kind of the quandary that they're in, because Major League Baseball is behind all this.
Yep.
So you have the one side, and the owners agreed to it. This didn't just get passed in the darkness of night here. The owners were behind it, although they didn't put anything in that said that guys had to play. But it was kind of – the owners weren't going to put up a stink unless the guy's coming off an injury or learning a new position or something like that. And so, you had guys like Verlander and Kershaw and Strasburg, and these guys didn't play for the U.S., and you wonder, if – America could have put together their real team, and Eric Hosmer wasn't our first baseman.
Yeah.
What could America have done? But but the owners were in on it, so they get all that. I wonder more so than the obvious injuries to Wright, to Hanley, you got a guy like Fernando Rodney, who really, I mean, he's been around for a while, but he burst on the scene last year. Unbelievable. The best season statistically that any closer has ever had in the history of baseball, 0.60 ERA. He goes out in the World Baseball Classic, and he's lights out. But this guy closed out seven games, you know, of intense baseball right in the beginning of the spring. Like, you wonder now, I mean, as a fantasy guy, is that he's a guy, to me, I kind of stay away from anyway, because you've seen that over and over, whether it's Gagne, whether it's Lidge, these guys that have these unbelievable seasons, whether, you remember, like, who's that other guy? Turnbull. Remember that guy? Yeah. Was that his name? Turnbull, the guy from the Milwaukee Brewers, that lefty. He used to throw hard, and he, you know, came and went. And there's Koch, the guy Koch who played for the Blue Jays. And these guys, you know, they come and go. And it's like, you know, unless it's Mariano or Kimbrel, I'm not trusting hardly anybody.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see how much this really affects these guys. I think it's going to help the hitters at the beginning of the year. Because, I mean, they looked like they were getting their timing down a lot more than someone playing in a spring training game, you know, facing a lot more an array of pitches than just, you know, someone in a spring training game throwing fastballs at them. But you got to wonder at the end of the year, is Robinson Cano, not saying the Yankees are in the playoffs here, but how's he going to be at the end of the year? Obviously, he was hitting the crap out of the ball in the World Baseball Classic. He couldn't hit the postseason last year, so he can hit under pressure because it meant so much to him. But one of the things that kind of turned me off was the tickets were, I think, $5, $10 a ticket, and they couldn't even fill the bottom row, the bottom section.
Yeah.
So you got to wonder how much do people care about these games, you know, in America, where they were show the video of the Dominican Republic last night, you know, and it looked like a scene from England winning the World Cup.
Oh, yeah.
And they were going crazy.
Yeah, they were, I mean, in Puerto Rico, they had a stadium sold out. People were watching it. They had, you know, parties in the streets and all that. And at the end of the day, that is what baseball's trying to accomplish. They're not trying to grow the brand in America. They're trying to grow it around the world. That all being said, as an American, you're like, man, we should be winning this thing. Yeah. And
well, why don't Americans care? Why don't we care like other countries care?
I don't know. What I don't get is, why a player wouldn't want to play, especially a position player, more so. Like, why Mike Trout wouldn't want to go play. Because you look at what David Wright did. Granted, he got hurt. But what he did for himself, I mean, with the whole Captain America thing, and he clearly was really proud to play for America, and it stood out. I mean, what he did for his own personal brand, he's going to make that back tenfold. I mean, now he's got Captain America going out, all these things. I mean, you wonder why a guy like Trout or Bryce Harper or one of these guys, I mean, Bryce Harper, because he was moving to left field or he's moving to another outfield spot, didn't want to.
That fielder never misses a game. What
a bothered
him.
Yeah, he's never not missed a game ever. And, yeah, we got Eric Hosmer out there, charging out there at first base. So it is weird. I almost wonder why these Americans don't want to do it. I don't know. It's almost like you don't want to get to, like, leave it out there. It's like they don't want, you know, as long as we don't put out a full force, you can always make that excuse that that's why America's not winning.
Yeah, I see that in a lot of sports. You see it in basketball. You feel like you're almost begging some of the Olympians to play, you know, instead of these other countries that, you know, they'll turn down playing in the NBA for a couple weeks, you know, to go practice with their other teams. You've seen it in the NHL this year when they were holding out. They all went to that overseas league, the KHL, and played there.
Yeah.
Some of them didn't even want to come back.
Yeah.
And they love playing for their countries.
Yeah, it's weird, but I'll be honest with you. I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved everything about it. I know there's a lot of problems with, okay, the first round, the pitchers can't throw more than 65 pitches. There's obviously the injury risk, and all these people have all these crazy ideas about how to make it better, maybe do just the first round before this season, I heard, and then do the finals over the All-Star break, extend the All-Star break like 10 days, and do it then. You have the same problems. I mean, if you have a guy like Strasburg or something like that on a pitch count, you're not going to let him go out there, and God forbid you get hurt in the middle of the season. So I don't think, I mean, everybody always wants to tweak things. To me, as a pure baseball fan, granted, I would have loved to see America put out their best effort and have all their guys out there. I couldn't get enough of the World Baseball out there. I watched that first Saturday when it was five games on. It was on my TV the whole time, and I didn't think I would be really into it.
Really?
I got so into it. I mean, I knew all the dudes. I mean, obviously,
the Italian team was pretty good.
The Italian team was very good. Shocked the world. I mean, then you get the Kingdom of the Netherlands.
Yep.
It's basically just Curacao. But but still, I mean, it's just this little island, you know, off the coast of South America, and they're putting together enough teams to make it to the the final round there.
I'm curious as to how many of these scouts picked up on some of these players, you know, this year.
They
took it seriously, you know, someone from, like, the Netherlands throwing four shutout innings.
Yeah.
It wasn't on a major league roster. He's going to get picked up.
Well, yeah, you wonder. I mean, you look at Puerto Rico. Remember Nelson Figueroa pitched for the Mets, pitched for bounced around Houston, never. But like, you know, he wound up throwing some big innings for Puerto Rico. The guy Zaduno from Dominican last night, who got the win, looked great.
I picked him up on waivers last year. I dropped him before his second game. He pitched for me because he got stuck late last night. He looked like Roger Clemens.
Yeah, and then he had ice in his veins. Yeah, I mean, you look at those guys. And then you look at a guy like Miguel Tejada.
Yep.
Everybody's washed up. You know, it's like, is he going to get a shot to play somewhere? And, you know, he was playing big-time innings. He was DHing or playing some infield and getting big hits, hustle. You know, you look at a guy like him, did he find his way onto, like, a more significant role after seeing him in that spot? You know, I mean, he was a guy everybody wrote off.
It's a great thing. I mean, if the World Cup in soccer can be so big every 4 years, I don't see why we can't find a way for the World Baseball Classic. You know, to find one part of the year, you know, to really, if Major League Baseball is really going to embrace this, you know, maybe push the season back a couple weeks and really get these all these players into it, or even do it after the season, you know.
Yeah.
But we've got to get all the players to play. It can't just be a 50 or 60% effort from everybody. You want all the countries involved.
Yeah, and, you know, the end game is apparently, and Felix's big vision is 20 years from now, there is actually going to be Major League Baseball affiliated teams across the world, and there will be a real World Series.
Yeah.
Well, there'll be a whole, you know, somehow Major League Baseball working into the Japanese League, and that'll be affiliated with Major League Baseball, and the champion of Japan will play, they'll play in some sort of Asian championship. There'll be a European championship, a Latin American championship, and then, you know, I don't see why you'd want that, because if you give some, all of a sudden this does blow up. And then you have some of the best players in the world maybe want to go play, and they're going to say, well, I could still win a championship, a world championship, and stay in Venezuela and be treated like a king and cost me 10 cents a day to live down there.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know why you'd want that, but if that's the total goal, and I don't see that ever happening, but maybe you'll see a point when the years when World Baseball Classic is coming around, the season goes from 162 games shortened down to 148 games.
Yeah.
And then the Major League Baseball teams recoup their money by the money, you know, they chop up that money from the World Baseball Classic or something like that.
Yeah.
You know,
I wonder which sport's going to go overseas first. I think it's going to be the NFL. I think they're going to be going to London within the next 5 years with
yeah.
the team. But I have a feeling, you know, these sports, City League and Goodell, they want to be the first sport to go overseas.
Yeah.
You know, to make their mark, really.
The thing is, football lends itself to it because you play once a week.
Yeah.
So the time change,
exactly.
You can
exactly.
do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can get a team in Rio de Janeiro if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you can play down there, you know, or play, you know, 4-8 games down there a year, different places. I mean, you could do that in football. I just don't see why you'd want that in baseball. I mean, you want to have some of your guys possibly wanting to go and play in another country.
Yeah,
and you
pitcher traveling overnight. And then,
yeah,
and
diluting the pool as it is now. People are already complaining about it.
Yeah.
The other big story that purist baseball fans, and I'm sick of purists in general in all the sports, but and I know you could completely disagree with me, but people were just all over the Dominican team for their celebrations and their, you know, Henry Ramirez in the home run on and watching it, pointing at the crowd. Obviously, Fernando Rodney shooting out the moon or whatever he's shooting with that bow and arrow. They're all pointing at it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any, not even a slight problem with any of it. I really don't. But people are like, I'm an old school baseball guy. Well, that's the reason why I think baseball is falling behind other sports.
Yeah.
Because, you know what, you forget. At the end of the day, it's a sport. It's something that I got a job, you got a job. We do like things. I watch sports to forget about real life.
Yeah.
You know, to forget about the crap I got going on in my life. I just want to sit down and watch it. It's an entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, for us to sit there, I mean, for respect the game. It's a game.
Yeah.
It's a game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't get that at all. And I know I'm in the minority of that because I got friends that I play baseball with now, play summer league with, and they're 180 degrees opposite of me. And they think they're just disrespecting the game. You got to play the game the right way. Unwritten rules, this and that. You know what? Look at the passion those guys play with, and look at them selling out arenas in their countries to watch this happen.
Yeah.
And you wonder why there's passion down there. That's how they play the game.
Yeah. I just, as a pitcher, I would probably take exception to it. And I'm not ever condoning the old school baseball way of, all right, you got to hit the next guy up.
Yeah.
But I see nothing wrong with brushing guys back, and you know, really just, you know, sending a message saying, listen. You know what I mean? If you're in a home run and you're gonna celebrate it on me, you're gonna get brushed back the next time out, no matter what. Even if it's in the World Baseball Classic.
Well,
you know,
the story of the classic was that brawl between Canada and Mexico, where it was, you know, talking about unwritten rules in old school baseball. This is Mexico, a team that likes to celebrate themselves. And we talked about it, but I don't know if you saw the whole thing go down. So the guy bunts. They're up 8-2, but the first round run differential is a tiebreaker.
Yeah,
so there is you have to file on runs.
Yeah.
So the guy leads off, and he earlier in the game he had taken out the shortstop on a double play ball, but he bunts for a hit. The third baseman clearly was playing back. He just walks over, picks up the ball, looks at the pitcher, and just points at his hip like you're going to drill the next guy.
Yeah.
Flat out. But I've never seen that happen in real life. Next pitch inside. Next pitch is inside again. So they warn both benches. Next pitch right in his back.
Yeah.
And it went on. So it was, but it was passionate, you know, and they didn't understand, you know, that really the reason why Canada was doing it. Canada defended themselves, and they had every right to bunt or whatever. And you know what? Mexico had every right to be an up, down, 8-2. They were out of the, at that point, to say, you know, you're not going to make a mockery of us.
Yeah.
I'm going to drill you square in between the shoulder blades. I thought it was so awesome, and that's what got this whole thing started, because it was passionate, country against country.
I really isn't against all these leagues that are against teams getting blown out. I mean, you're a college kid, you go to a big-time college, or you play professional sports. If you get up 30 or 40, you shouldn't have to sit the second half in a basketball game because you're up by 30.
Yep.
You know, there's one thing that I've always hated over the years. Look at the new BCS system. You know, you have to win by a certain amount if you're playing a bad team. So then when you get up 60, you have to just stop. I don't know. To me, it's not right. I mean, you play the full game. If you lose by 30 or 50, you know what? You got to play harder next time. That's the way I look at it.
And I think it's more embarrassing when the teams take it easy on you.
Yeah.
Beyond the losing end of a game, like in Connecticut, which is embarrassing to be from Connecticut, but the high school football rule now, they have essentially a mercy rule where if you're up, you can't win by more than 50 points, and if you do, the coach is suspended the next game. So you have cases where a guy could run out of the one-yard line and just fall down. If you're the opposing team, isn't that more embarrassing? Isn't that more embarrassing as a team? Like, all right, you only get to play most guys. And if you're a good player, you maybe play 22 high school games, play your junior and senior year.
Yeah.
So now you want to – that's a short little finite amount of time. You want to play as hard as you can,
yeah,
even if you're on the losing team.
Uh-huh.
You only get to hit a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
If you're a running back, you only get to run the ball a certain amount of time. If you're a wide receiver, you only get to catch the ball. Quarterback, you only get to throw the ball. Like, you want to play as much as possible. I hate that. Like, more – that is something you want to talk about being old school. That's an embarrassment.
Imagine a backup getting in a game that's never played before, return the kick for a touchdown, and he has to kneel down because they can't win.
Yeah.
It'll be the only touchdown of his career.
Yeah, imagine
he has to kneel down.
Imagine a senior that never gets on a team but practices, you know, like the Rudy Rudiger in your team.
Uh-huh.
You know, everybody knows, I'm not going to call the name South, but we know the guys that know like that run. But, like, you know, can every practice play Scout-O, Scout-D, make it involved game, and you don't want them to go out and make plays? Like, this is just trying to play. It's sports.
A lot of what's wrong with sports today.
It really is.
Everybody deserves a trophy.
I think that most coaches aren't going to be jerks and put their foot on the gas with their starters in. But like you said, you get guys in there, you got to let them play. Let them play. So did you think, I mean, for the Dominican to run the table the way the first time ever in the short, short time we've had the World Baseball Classic, run the table, 8-0, just ran right through the field. I mean, from the beginning, you look at their lineup and you're like, this is insane. Their pitching staff had some big names on it, you know, Volpez and, you know, Wandy and a couple other guys and, like, you know, the dude obviously in the big win. But you looked at it and you said, on paper, how is anybody going to beat it? But, you know, they got knocked out in the first bracket the last time around. So, you know, I was so impressed by it from the beginning. I was like, I don't know how anybody's going to beat the Dominican. And they just ran right through it. I don't know. In 2 weeks we won't be talking about the World Baseball Classic anymore other than the fact that maybe some of these guys aren't going to be starting. Now, Wright is, you know, they said it's about 70-30 that he's going to start opening day, or, you know, 30% he might be on the DL. We'll see how that goes. Obviously, Hanley, 2 to lifetime injury, whatever his injury report is, but I was all about it. I mean, I couldn't get enough of it.
These things are anything like this, competitiveness and seeing kids, people, professionals giving 100%, there's nothing better than it. I can't imagine that anybody's against it.
Yeah, I had a blast watching it. And, that, you know what, could it be a little better? Would it be better if they could have done it another way? But nobody wants to impact the season, so this is when you do it. And like it or don't like it, and don't watch it. I don't want to hear everybody calling in with all these crazy ideas of how we can make it better.
No.
This is what it is. If you don't like it, then don't watch it.
Yeah.
You can't really get it any better than this without impacting the Major League season. Well, the real reason we brought you in here was to break down this NCAA tournament. We don't talk a lot about college basketball here. We did, you know, the last 2 years we actually did talk a decent amount of college basketball, but that was when UConn, you know, wasn't on probation. Our first year here is when UConn won the national championship, great run they went on. Kemba and all that. But, you know, we haven't talked much about it. Here and there we'll do a spot story, but I'm not going to pretend that I sat there and just watched the random Wednesday night game, you know, on ESPN. I really didn't. It seemed like Indiana was always in Indiana when I could, and every time they were on, they lost. When I, you know, and so my first question.
They're still number one.
Yeah. Well, that's going to lead me to my first question before we get into the actual brackets and all. What was your overall take on this season as far as, you know, the constant turnover at number one, the constant turnover in the top five? Every time somebody would become number one, they'd lose. I mean, is that good? If you're a college basketball fan, and we'll get into obviously your favorite team as a piggyback on this, but is that good? If you're a college basketball fan, do you like this, or do you like the David Brooks line? There is a clear cut. Kentucky's unbelievable. We're just going to let them run through it. Because I think
I like it a lot because this year there was no team that brought in five freshmen and they just ran the table. You know, there's more parity this year than people are saying in the history of college basketball.
Ever since I remember.
I don't care what expert you are. You really have no idea who's going to be in the Final Four this year. I mean, where you throw the big names out there, but I would be shocked if there would be four teams from the big conferences. The Mountain West Conference is unbelievable this year. You got teams like, you know, St. Louis in a lower conference, VCU, New Mexico. That I'd be shocked that one or two of them are not in the Final Four.
Yeah.
So I don't want to hear that it's a surprise that they're there this year. Okay, that does hurt TV ratings, having a VCU or a St. Louis in the finals.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, people don't watch that like they watch Kentucky, North Carolina. But this year, those teams are really tough. And there's going to be some big upsets in the second and third round by a St. Louis and a VCU, it seemed like that. But to me, they're not surprised. I wouldn't be surprised at all. Okay, the thing now is college basketball.
Hey, and we're back. Sorry about that. When we don't have our producer here, sometimes we have some technical difficulties. Taco was sitting here breaking things down. So I think if you kind of faded out there when we were talking about, you know, the way this season unfolded and you had guys, you know, teams, no team wanted to seize that number one seed. And every time they got a chance to, they would send teams to lose. And every week we had a new number one. And you said you really thought that was good for the sport, good for, you know, fans to follow.
I thought it was great. Every week you never knew what was going to happen. It seemed like every night on Wednesday or Thursday night on ESPN, the number one team went down.
Right? Yeah.
Every week we had a new number one. The only team that really, you know, stayed up there towards the end was Gonzaga, and that's just because they were playing in a really weak conference this year.
Yeah. And then, you know, you also mentioned, you know, the ratings for a St. Louis Gonzaga game might not, you know, be as good as Kansas Kentucky. But I think with the best of both worlds would be to have one of those smaller teams going up against one of the traditional powerhouses. And you know, now we have some of the more storied programs like Indiana making a comeback after being out of the, you know, scene for so long, like Michigan getting back to the number one seed. So I think if you're the NCAA, what you really want is to have one of these Cinderella teams kind of face off against, you know, one of the powerhouses, because then you kind of have the best of both worlds. When it's two Cinderella teams, you're right, you're not going to get the ratings. But I think what you want to see is, you know, the reason a Cinderella team is exciting to watch because they're trying to take off a big dog, you know?
Yeah. It should be exciting. Every round, I can't wait for it. I can't wait to see what happens tomorrow. Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this before we get into it again. Now, last night, you know, they had to play in games, and the Kentucky-Robert Morris game blew them out of the water for ratings.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have my theory as to why this is, but why do you think it is? Do you think it – I mean, the school of thought is, well, that's just because Kentucky is a big market, and, you know, a big following, and everybody wants to watch them and see. I mean, do you think that's what it is?
I think if you're going to have 64 teams in, you should have the best, or 68, whatever they're going to be now, they should have the best 68. I'm tired of letting North Carolina 18 play the first seed, you know, every year, and it's proven, not just me, a 16 is never being a one.
Yeah.
Where if we throw a Kentucky in there at a 13 and they give their best effort, they could be a 2 seed, they could be a 3 seed, they could be an 8 seed.
Yeah.
I mean, they beat Florida a couple weeks ago at home. You know, Florida's one team that we're picking to win the title, everybody. So,
yeah.
I mean, I understand that, you know, we want to give it a Fairfield or Iona a shot, know, but realistically, is it fun watching Duke play, you know, Elon or somebody like that? It's not very exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, how CBS puts those games on TV on a night game when I'd rather watch, you know, two teams that are batting loud in a 5-point game instead of watching Kansas, you know, beat someone by 30.
Yeah, you
know,
want the 89 game.
Yeah.
For sure. Now, I think that the real reason is the March Madness ratings are so ridiculous. It's all because of these bracket pulls everybody does. Because you get to college, you know, a guy like me, who hasn't watched, I probably haven't watched more than a handful of games throughout the course of the season, and most of them have been UConn games that have been on that I'm watching. So a handful of meaningful games of teams that are in the tournament. But I'll be watching, and especially that first Thursday, I'll be following because you were looking at your bracket, and, you know, all of these things. So the gambling aspect of it clearly is what carries it, because these playing games don't affect anybody's bracket because nobody cares. Nobody, you can't pick them, and nobody's picking those teams. And what the NCAA tried to do was not just make it, you know, two teams fighting up because of the 16th seed. Mm-hmm. You know, they had an 11, well, I think a couple of teams were 11s or 13s playing, you know.
I just don't understand why an 11 has to play an 11 when a 16 gets a bye to play. You know, bye. It just doesn't make sense.
No, I know.
Have all the 16s play each other. You know, I mean, it just it doesn't make sense to me. Why should Boise State then have to play LaSalle when those guys are, when they're both 11 seeds?
Yeah.
Like, why are they playing a play-in game when North Carolina AT&T is playing a 16 team? I don't get that aspect of it.
Yeah, I mean, it all comes down to money. You know, they want to, they, now there's more than one market in it. They have all the True TV and TNT games or whatever. You know, they're all over the place, and it gives them a few more games to play with, and they could sell it out, and it makes the NCAA more money. And, you know, somebody wrote on my Facebook wall today, you guys remember college sports, and he's a diehard college sports guy because it's supposedly the purest form of sport. I think the NCAA is the most corrupt organization inside of Wall Street. I mean,
especially college football.
That's insane. There's nothing more corrupt than this, like, you know, what they do to the kids, and, you know, they just, you know, eat them up, spit them out, who cares what you do. You know, let them skate by, not go to class, so they're not getting an education, not graduating, and who cares? They don't get any money. They can't even get a meal. They can't get anything. It's insane. They make all this money. It's the most corrupt thing. And then speaking of corruption, I don't know if you heard today, it comes out, the NCAA has been investigating Syracuse for the last 4 years. Did you hear this?
No surprise at all. I have a good story about Syracuse from years ago.
All right, go ahead with Syracuse, and I'm going to read you the direct quote from the inside joke, but what's your story about Syracuse?
The story of Syracuse was years ago, Stephen Marbury. You remember him?
Oh, yeah.
Stephen Marbury was given $100,000 and a bag of cash, right? He was given $100,000. Everybody showed up at his press conference, okay? Showed up with Syracuse hats on. Everybody knows he's going to Syracuse. He announced it's Georgia Tech. Good friend of ours asked, why did you switch the last minute? And he said, Georgia Tech showed up with $200,000. How can Syracuse ever say anything? You can't say
anything. Exactly. You take that money. What are you going to say? The direct quote from this inside source, it was broke by CBSSports.com. They said, throw a dart at the NCAA manual, and you'll hit a violation right there.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many of them. It's a major and wide-ranging violation. Mm-hmm. There was a press conference by both of Boeheim tonight at 7:30. I didn't catch it. You know, he's going to – but they've had – obviously, last year, Pat Mello was ineligible because he had some sort of violation, academic violation. They had that problem where they were all smoking pot, and they reported themselves.
Yeah.
They had a problem where, like, three guys raped a girl. Yeah. Johnny Flynn, remember Johnny Flynn?
Uh-huh.
Raped a girl, all these things, you know. But you got guys like Boeheim that's like, oh, you know what?
I mean, to me, why? I mean, you go around, you fly around, you go to Florida State, you go to Miami, you go to USC, and then you're going to pick UConn? Come on. I mean, honestly, you're looking at your
Georgia. Got Kyle's Village.
You got five farm animals over there. You got horses over here. You go to Miami, you got girls in bikinis.
Yeah.
Why are these kids picking UConn?
They're right, they're picking Syracuse. Right, just a hop, skip, and a jump to beautiful Willamette.
Doesn't
it? That's how it is. Yeah. No, I know. I know. You look at a lot of these things. Where do these things come out? Syracuse.
Yeah.
In the middle of nowhere. Don't give me that you want to go play Syracuse.
Yeah.
I mean, what, you know, why would you want to do that? Why would you pick anything over, you know, USC? I go to Pepperdine, just chill in Malibu, you know?
Uh-huh. So, that wouldn't shock me. That wouldn't shock me at all.
Yeah, you know, and then the people are calling in the same. When this was all breaking, they're calling in, oh, this is such a shame about, you know, this is what people are going to remember about Boeheim. Well, this is what he based his whole legacy on, and
exactly.
It's the same thing with Paterno, to a lesser extent, but it's like, okay, so what? That means it's 43 years or however long you've been there. It's a fraud.
Look at Calhoun. Yeah. And then all of a sudden they got in trouble. The next year he's like, I'm not coaching you.
Hey, Kevin, why don't you look for it, brother?
Kevin, you take care of it. We're not going to post season next year.
Yeah, we're gonna lose Roscoe, we're gonna lose Oriaki, Drummond's gonna jump ship. Yeah, go ahead, run the ship there, Kevin. There's your chance. Yeah. So all right, let's get into the tournament itself now. The sexy team seems to be Louisville.
Yeah.
I went
to the Big East final, and I can't tell you how impressive they are. I mean, they have everything, inside, outside game,
yeah.
Point guard. I mean, they have everything. You got some guys that can shoot. They got this 18-year-old that I am really impressed with, this kid named Harrell, that was just, I mean, he controlled the boards all against Syracuse. I'm having a tough time seeing that they're going to get beat. The only thing is I'm saying how much parity there is in the tournament this year. So I really don't want to pick the favorite, but I did my first bracket, and of course I picked Louisville.
It's kind of hard not to. I know a couple other teams that are, everybody's talking about. You mentioned Florida. ESPN's got some sort of system that they could figure out who's going to win, and that predicted Florida was going to win. Some sort of computer program with matchups and the route they had and all that. So they're another team. I mean, Florida obviously had a lot of success over the last decade or so at the NCAA tournament. I mean, are they a team? I didn't watch Florida at all. I mean, are they a team that could really make a run, or is it?
Florida's very good. The question mark with Florida is when they go on the road, they're a totally different team. So, the NCAA tournament is at a neutral site, but it's still on the road. They're not at home. They're one of those teams that I don't care if they were playing Georgia, Ole Miss. When they go on the road, you could see them losing to anybody.
Yeah.
So, this year, the reason why the number one team was also going down every week was because there really was not a good road team in college basketball.
Yeah.
You can ask anybody that went on the road, the home team was a favorite. I don't care who was playing.
Yeah.
So in this tournament, I think you're going to see a lot of upsets.
Yeah, which makes, you mentioned it. You might have been off the air when you mentioned it, but that there isn't really going to be, there's never going to be a true Cinderella team, because the teams that everybody, you want to talk about St. Louis, well, they're not St. Louis, because everybody loves them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
New Mexico, everybody's all over New Mexico. Even NC State, NC State was preseason ranked really high, had disappointing season, but people are like, they got the talent there, they got that one big-time player who could score and do some things. So there isn't going to be that team unless you have some really team that nobody's talked about, but just everybody has that kind of sexy pick. And another team that everybody's in love with, and people kept saying they didn't get enough credit, but all I did was, as a guy not following them, all I did was hear about him, and that's Miami.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, they're not getting enough credit. But then all you heard on ESPN was about Miami basketball.
Yeah. I questioned Miami all year. And then when I watched the ACC tournament, I really was impressed. They really didn't struggle at all. They played NC State in the semis, which basically was a home game for NC State, playing in Greensboro. And they dominated that game. And then they played Carolina in Carolina again in the finals. And they ended up pulling away by 10. So until the end of the year, I think they had a lot of pressure on them being undefeated in the ACC for a long time. But they were really impressive in that tournament. And you want to find one of these teams when you're picking your brackets that gets hot at the end of the year. You don't want one of these teams that loses first round in their tournament. They haven't played a game in 2 weeks now.
Yeah, right. When you look at what UConn did when they – really had not a great regular season until that Big East tournament in December was unbelievable, and they wondered whether they were going to burn themselves out. But in reality, kids got fresh legs. They're young. They're 19, 20 years old. The momentum is more important than anything. It's getting hot. And that's what UConn just rode that wave all the way through. My thing about Miami, and people keep pointing to it as a strength, is that they got all these seniors. But none of them have any NCAA experience. There's not one guy that's played 1 minute in NCAA tournament. So – to me, I mean, they got Barry Larkin's kid, who's, a sophomore, and then they have a bunch of seniors. And then, the experts, they're still big bodies, and, because they're, your maturation just in your physicalness will be much bigger when you're 22 as opposed to when you're 18. And I get all that. But I'm telling you, I don't know. I'll go through where I have them dropping out. But that's why, to me, as somebody who hasn't really watched them, that's a red flag to me.
I'm going to tell you why I do not think they're a red flag. Okay, the one thing, and it comes from the coach, okay?
Yeah.
One of the many, looks like 5 to 10 coaches at 10 Providence College. In this tournament, you've got Patino, Billy Donovan, okay? You've got Larinaga at Miami. I mean, these are all top 3 seeds. Okay?
Yeah, they're just a factory.
They're in the NITs. I tried
when to get a guy going to least I've seen.
Scott Shamgar is actually back in college, and he's a grad assistant on the Providence College basketball.
No, he's not.
Yep, he's a grad assistant. But he's actually an undergrad assistant. Because he never graduated.
Yeah.
They made a special little job for him this year. He's on the bench.
He toiled around the job world for a while.
Yep.
Like, I got nothing else.
Yep, so if you click on ESPN3 right now on the computer, you can watch Providence playing Charlotte, and Shamgar's on the bench. But anyway, back to our Miami subject. Miami's coach is one of the best around. Okay.
Yeah.
He was on the team that upset UConn years ago. I think 5 years ago, really brought them up. And I really respect Jim Larranaga. I think he's done an amazing job. Because like you said, these kids have never been to the NCAA tournament before. Well, they just rolled through the ACC tournament, so they weren't affected by that.
Yeah. Yeah, man, you could be right. Now we'll go. We're not going to break down every bracket. I don't think we need to. But I got them losing to Butler. Because Butler is a team that's in the NCAA tournament every year. Butler is the prototypical Cinderella every year. You know, there's a prototypical team that's going to be, oh, they're my bracket buster type thing. I don't have them, you know, going to the Final Four or anything, but that's where I have them taking out Miami.
Okay. I don't see Butler getting out of the first round.
No.
I see them against Bucknell.
Bucknell's another team people like, though.
Okay. One thing you guys always want to look at when you look at these games, and, you know, you hate to bring the gambling aspect into it, right?
But we only want to bring it in.
All right?
The only reason I'm watching is, and they're going to break you in here so I can make a buck.
Just so you guys know, the spread in Las Vegas last night, Robert Morris played Kentucky, was 3.5. Okay? There is no reason that when Kentucky plays Robert Morris.
Now, we used to play Robert Morris at Johns Hopkins. We played Robert Morris baseball. So that's the kind of
program. The spread should be 3.5. Let's all be real. You saw a spread like that, and I talked to a good friend of mine last night about it. And we said before the game, there's no way Kentucky's winning this game. They're just not. Did I have the balls to bet on Ron Morris? No, I didn't. But at the same time, Butler is only favored by 3.5 in this game.
Yeah.
Who in the world is going to look at that game and say, Butler's not going to win by 3.5?
Yeah.
So that's a big red flag.
Yeah,
Las Vegas, who does this every day, and they're doing it to make money. We're doing it for fun. We do get in pools and stuff like that. But you've got to look at some of these spreads.
See, I didn't know that. See, maybe I'll change my pick now.
Yeah.
that is, to me, that's how you go.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's not to get blue, but we talked about the election, and I said, I'm not going to talk about who I'm supporting, but when Vegas had Obama's odds like the week before at like 5-1 to win, you know, 1-5 to win, like, well, then it's over.
Yeah.
Vegas isn't going to be wrong.
No.
Everybody was talking about close polls, this, close that. Vegas, you ain't going to lose, because that means everybody in the world is going to, they're just begging you to take Romney.
Here's something for you. Florida, first round game. They're a 3 seed.
Mm-hmm.
They're favored by 20. Marquette's a 3 seed, favored by 3.
Jesus.
Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to take a look at what's going on out there.
They see that's why I got to reevaluate.
I'm going to do a lot more research.
I got a long night ahead of me here. My God, we're not going to the overtime tonight, folks. I got a long night ahead of me here. Well, the other team we got to talk about, I mentioned them a little bit before, but, I mean, Indiana was a team, you know, they got the kid Zeller, everybody's all high on, they're back, Indiana's back, they get up to number one, they lose, it's like, you know, when they battle their way back to a one seed, you know, obviously you're a Michigan fan, so I'm sure you watch a lot of Indiana games. I mean, give me your take on Indiana. Do they deserve the one seed, and what can they do?
The thing with Indiana this year that I saw in all the Big Ten teams was, from the beginning of the year, it was thought that the Big Ten is the best conference, and it's still said that it's the best conference.
Yeah.
Me, I don't believe that they're clear-cut the best conference. I believe they're just in there with the Big East or any of the other conferences. Okay? Indiana, in the preseason schedule to me, was terrible. I didn't see anybody that impressed me that they play at all.
Yeah.
You go through the whole schedule, I think there was maybe one win that was an okay win. Then they get to the Big Ten, and their strength of schedule goes flying up because they're playing Michigan and playing Ohio State, Wisconsin, all these teams that are also ranked in the top 10, and it's perceived that the Big Ten is the best. Well, if you're constantly playing your conference teams, your strength of schedule is going to fly up there.
Yeah, right.
And so when you get to this, look at 2 years ago we were comparing the Big East to the SEC. They got to the tournament, and there was only one team that made the Final Four. And I was one of those Big East guys that was saying, oh, it's the best conference.
Oh, I know. I'm on the show. I got that.
Yeah, it was when we first started, you sort of started the show. And I look at this year, every Big Ten team I see out there is a question mark. Indiana, I think they're going to make the Final Four. They're very good. They possibly could even win. Michigan, their offense is terrible.
Yeah.
I don't see them getting out of round two.
Okay.
Wisconsin, they have trouble scoring. Okay? Mm-hmm. Ohio State, another team. Great defensive team. They have trouble scoring. You run into one of these teams that gets hot, you're in trouble. You're in trouble.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I want to see how these conferences do. But Indiana, I really don't see them losing before the Final Four, as much as I'd like to see them lose early.
Yeah, and we'll start there because I got Indiana in my Final Four. I got Butler beat Miami, so I got Indiana beating Butler there coming out of that bracket. So I got Indiana. The South bracket, obviously Kansas is the one seed. I have to just, you know, play the chalk here and go with Florida because everybody's on board with them. I know it's like, you know, you want to win these bracket pools, especially the ones with a ton of people. You can't always take the teams that you know everybody's going to be taking, but. I had to defer to what everybody's been saying and all the experts are saying and, you know, the ESPN and all that. I got Florida coming out of there. The West is where I do have my surprise there. You mentioned them just 2 seconds ago. I got Wisconsin coming out of there.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the way Wisconsin played against Indiana. You know, they're another team that you know, they're in the NCAA tournament all the time. They got, you know, exposure there. You know, you got the teams, you know, I got them beating Ohio State here to get into the Final Four. Again, with Gonzaga, I mean, they were the team that everybody loved in NCAA pools when they were, you know, an 8 seed
mm-hmm.
or 6 seed. Now they got the 1 seed, and, you know,
yeah.
they got the kid there with the long hair, and everybody loves them, and, you know.
Yeah. They're very good.
Okay.
They got John Stockton's son out there.
Yeah, they got John Stockton's son out there. I mean, I got a hunch about Wisconsin this year, and that is a team that I have seen play a little bit. I just think that they're the type of team that's kind of built to do well in this type of tournament. You know, I got Louisville coming out of the Midwest. Now, who do you got in your Final Four?
Right now I have Louisville,
mm-hmm.
I have New Mexico,
mm-hmm.
Georgetown, and Indiana.
Now, Georgetown is another team that I, at first, when I looked at it, I'm like, Georgetown's the team I'm taking out of this bracket. Mm-hmm. But then I started to say, am I just going with my Big East bias? Because
yeah.
I always, and I get burned a lot of times in these pools because I'm so into the Big East. And, you know, and like you said in the past, it hasn't really helped me out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But so that's why I kind of just shied away from Georgetown. But I do like Georgetown. That's another team I've seen play. And you know, man, Georgetown, you know, they can do a lot of things too.
Yeah, great coach, great defensive team, maybe one of the best players in the country, Otto Porter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, definitely one of the best. The problem with the teams like Georgetown and Wisconsin that scare me is they go through 7 minutes where they don't score.
Yeah.
They'll literally go 5 to 7 minutes against one of the worst teams in the country. They won't even score. They have trouble putting the ball in the basket. So I mean, that scares me about those teams. But I did pick Georgetown to go far. Because I like that they battled in the Big East, and you know, even though they did lose in the Big East tournament, if they had beaten Syracuse in that overtime game, I think they're a one seed, and I think they would have been deserving of it because going into it, there was a lot of talk about it. I also think that I don't think that their bracket is too tough besides Florida. Florida is going to be very tough, and Florida has just an unbelievably easy first two rounds. I mean, if they win that first game, really easy. They play UCLA, Minnesota. I mean, there's probably two of the worst teams in the tournament from the conferences. Minnesota does not belong. They're terrible.
Yeah.
Just because they won 20 games early. They're awful. So
they're going to coast to the Sweet 16.
They're going to coast to the Sweet 16. I mean, if there's a game, if it's in 15, I'm shocked. So that's why I think everybody's picking them to go far because you're not afraid of seeing them lose early.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Georgetown, on the other hand, is going to play Oklahoma or San Diego State second round. Both of those teams could be Georgetown,
yeah.
Which scares me.
Well, San Diego State is another one of those teams that seems to be, you know, do well in the tournament.
Yeah.
The tournament tested type, you know,
uh-huh.
smaller school.
Yeah, very good. Coach the Fab Five team, old coach there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's got a lot of experience. They're one of the Mountain West Conference teams. It's going to be very, very dangerous in this tournament. You got New Mexico. You got UNLV. You got San Diego State. It's tough. It's a very tough conference. So don't be surprised if you see those teams going really far.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, I agree with you there about the Florida getting an easy first two games. What worries me, even though I did take them to the Final Four, is what we just talked about. I mean, you want to be playing competitive games. I think that helps. And when you have a couple cakewalk games, and like you said, you're going to win by double digits and then take a week off to get to the, you know, the next round, the Sweet 16, you know, there could be a letdown there. And it's hard to say, how are you going to have a letdown? It's not a letdown like we're going to take it easy, but it's like we haven't played a big-time game in 3 weeks,
yeah.
you know, at this point, or whatever, 2.5 weeks. And you can get there to the Sweet 16, and they haven't been tested in a while.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, you play competitive sports. It's like, that is what it is. You play up to your competition and you get going, you win a couple big games. And, you know, so I do worry a little bit about them. I still have them going on, but yeah, I do worry a little bit.
They've been winning big all year.
Mm-hmm.
When Florida's in a close game, they never won.
Yeah.
They're not one of those tested teams at the end. Kenny Boynton ends up throwing up a fadeaway three. You know, just like Missouri with Presley, can't win a close game. So you got to watch those teams and win big, look amazing, and then when they get in a tight game, they have trouble.
Tell me a little bit about Kansas, because nobody loves Kansas. I mean, this
Kansas
is one city that nobody – I haven't heard anybody say they're going to win the championship. And you know, they're just not a team that anybody seems to be in love with, and you must have seen. I mean,
Kansas throughout the year was probably the most up and down number one, two, or three seed of any team in the country. They had a game versus TCU where the coach, after the game, said it was the worst team he's ever coached in his life.
I remember that.
And then they got to the Big 12 tournament. And if you watch the Big 12 tournament, they were the best team in the country by far. They were better than Louisville. They were better than anybody.
Yeah.
Nobody even competed with them. And if they play like they did in the Big 12, they will not lose. I don't care who they play.
Mm-hmm.
But with Kansas, you know, they're going to show up.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's the problem with a lot of these kids. You know, they're 18, 19-year-old kids. And you really don't know who's going to show up. So, I mean, we love doing these brackets. You know, we love trying to be better than our friends and everything. But do you really know which Kansas or Louisville is going to show up? No, we don't.
Yeah.
You know?
So who do you got in the final?
I got the East, of course. Louisville, Georgetown.
I mean, it'd be the best way for the Big East to go out, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I did think about that when I looked at the first thing. And I'm in three different pools, so I might do that. You know, I filled this one out first. I might do that because I do want to see that.
Yeah.
Which is the same way I always take one pool, and I always put UConn to win because if they win, I want to get the winner. Yeah, obviously I can do that this year, but so I want to see Big East go out like that with a nice it would be a nice exclamation point.
You know, talking about the Big East going out too, that kind of upsets me because everybody says that now. Francesa, all these guys are like, Big East is done. They're done because Louisville and Syracuse done, but there's some very good schools still in that conference that are staying there. The conference announced today they're staying at Madison Square Garden forever, and today they added Butler, Xavier, and Creighton. Three
yeah.
NCAA
and didn't they get St. Louis? There's another team that
they got. More talked about.
Yeah.
That. Yeah. So, I mean, they're talking about adding St. Louis. The 12th school wasn't a team I was super thrilled about, but if they add St. Louis, that's a fourth NCAA tournament team. That's not a huge drop-off in the tournament. All right, you're not going to have the Syracuse fans there, but the level is still very high level.
And it's all basketball.
It's all basketball schools.
So.
These schools have been trying to get away from these football schools for years.
Yeah.
They don't have the money of Syracuse or Louisville.
Yeah, good
riddance,
Notre Dame.
Yeah, goodbye. So we'll see what happens. But Big East is still going to be there. Georgetown, one of those Big East teams next year with the Catholic Seven.
Yeah.
And your fancy name going around.
Yeah. Well, I got Louisville and Indiana, and then I got Louisville winning it.
I'm a little biased right there because I watched them last week, and I fell in love with them because they beat Syracuse. Patino, another coach from the Providence.
I do love getting that in there. I love just sneaking in a little piece.
I see Georgetown and Indiana fighting out a really good game, and then the winner playing Louisville, and I think Louisville takes it. So
yeah, I got the same thing. I got Louisville winning too, and I do the same thing. I watched a bunch of Louisville. It just happened to be a team I saw.
Yeah.
You know, it seems good, and that's kind of what happens. And you know what? Have you ever won a bracket pool? Have you ever taken one down?
Stacy, my wife last year was first place until the last game. The last game, and then she lost it.
Is that right?
She was about to win $2,500. About to win $2,500, she lost it. She finished out of the money. She was either first or nothing. They lost in the final.
I actually did win one, and it was a big one. And it was, when did UConn win? Like 03 or 04-ish?
Yeah.
Around that time, 02 or 03. Mm-hmm. And
they would beat Duke in the finals. It was one of those.
So it was one of those years. So it was through my wife's work. So it was like all these different companies. So it was free to get in, one of those things. And the prize was I won. And at the time, it was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
TiVo for life.
Wow.
So TiVo for life. Like, this is awesome, right?
Yeah.
So I got TiVo. Before anybody else had TiVo,
yeah.
I was 22, 23 years old. I couldn't afford TiVo.
Yeah.
I had TiVo. It was fantastic. And then all of a sudden, they upgraded TiVo. And my TiVo starts working. So I call them up. I'm like, yeah, I won TiVo for life. They're like, no, you won that service for life. And then I was out of TiVo. And now TiVo, I don't even know who has it anymore.
Yeah,
so
right?
DVR, but that was my one story. But again, that was not a year that I don't pretend to know a lot about it. It was like, I'm taking UConn.
Yeah.
And then a couple of teams that I liked that I saw, I won, and I hit on all of those.
Mm-hmm.
And I went having three of the four Final Four teams and getting the finals, and that was it. It was awesome. So Yeah, but it is a crapshoot. No, the guys in the seats that win, it's, you know, you watch college basketball as much as anybody know,
yeah,
and it's never somebody like you that wins.
One of these three teams, I think, is going to be deep, and then don't be surprised if they're in the finals or they actually win the tournament, is St. Louis, New Mexico, and VCU.
Yeah?
I would not be surprised. I'd see them in the finals.
Yeah?
He's a great coach. They're saying that this team's better than that team that they had years ago, the VCU team.
Yeah.
They're saying they're really good.
I've heard that, too.
But St. Louis cruised through them in the conference tournament.
Yeah.
Actually, he has a St. Louis team.
Yeah, see, I mean, people like St. Louis.
Yeah.
I'm sure Francesco was singing their praises today.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Which makes me, you know, not want to move from that guy. But, yeah, it'll be fun, though. I mean, so for you, is the first weekend the most fun to watch because of the brackets? I mean, to me, it is. I mean,
mine is the second weekend.
Yeah? Well, that's when you really, if you're into the bracket, you've got some guys, that's when you make
money. Well, that's
money.
When you have the St. Louis playing Kentucky, you know, New Kansas and all these teams. That's just when the real big teams show up. I remember when Dwayne Wade was playing for Marquette.
Yeah.
And that second weekend, and like that's when he came into his own.
Well, that's when he jumped
coming out party.
Yeah, that's when he earned himself the third pick overall, whatever he was.
The first weekend, you got all these games. Now they're on four different channels. You're just looking for kind of the best game to watch. You know, you're hoping you get one good game out of four because they're on at the same time.
Yeah.
The second weekend, to me, there's nothing better than it.
Yeah.
There really is nothing better.
Yeah, I could just remember being, you know, we went to middle school together, and I remember, like, you know, the cool teacher would have it on, and you'd, like, go spend lunch in, like, Mr. Petrini's room, like, watching the game, you know, and, like, you know, I'm sure, you know, Coach Ireland or Mr. Anastasia at Narcotics going to have it on. And,
I hope so. Cool kids. You know, kids right there.
Yeah, exactly. They don't, whatever they're learning is not more important than their bracket.
No.
That's it, dude.
Yep.
That was where it was. Like, it'll be exciting. I'm excited about it, even though, you know, we get some flack for not covering a lot of college sports. You know, I'll be excited for this tournament. But you can stick around for a little while. We're going to talk a little NBA quick.
Yeah.
All right. Well, obviously, we've got to start with the Knicks.
Okay.
Neither you or I like the Knicks, so I'm glad to have another. Are you a Knicks hater? Because I'm a Knicks hater.
I'm someone who's wanted to be a Knicks fan for years and years and years because all my best friends in college were Knicks fans. They tried to make me a Knicks fan. But every year I try to like them. There's something about them that makes me hate them even more.
Yeah. They're unlikable team.
Yeah. I don't know who created this team. I mean, all right, they were hot at the beginning of the year. We brought these guys together. And to me, it reminds me of kind of what the Yankees are going through right now with all these older players getting injured. You know, the guy on the radio, I'm driving over here, and he's like, well, we can't wait for Rasheed Wallace and Kurt Thomas to come back. And I'm thinking, like, what is this, 2005?
Yeah.
Insane. You know, Jason Kidd, we need him to come back.
They're the first team in history that could add a 35-year-old power forward and get younger in their front court.
Yeah.
When they added Kenyon Martin, it's like, we got some youth there with Kenyon Martin.
It's like they were building to win all this year or nothing, because I think they're in trouble in a couple of years. I think they're going to go through what they went through again. Dropping back down.
Oh, I agree with you. And we've been, and people accuse me of being a Knick hater, but from the beginning, I'm like, you know, they're 18-5. I said, wait till they go on their first bad run. And exactly what I said on the air. I said, wait till they go through their first bad run, and we'll see how Carmelo, everybody said he turned the corner, and now he's up there and out. The guy can score with anybody.
Yeah.
He's still a top 5-10 player in the league.
Uh-huh.
And as far as scoring, I find a top 3. But let's see if he turned that corner, becoming the leader of the team. You don't just turn that on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And in basketball, it is a game where it's about talent and all that, but it is about playing as a team. That's why you see the Spurs always in it.
Yeah.
Teams like Indiana, people laugh at me and Tony D., who's a big Oklahoma City fan. Last year when I said I loved Indiana a month and a half ago. I'm like, I'm telling you right now, and they're like, you got nobody that can score.
Yeah.
Paul George is a stud.
Yeah.
Can we talk about how great Paul George is?
Very good.
Paul George is a stud.
Well, they're the best besides the Miami Heat, because they're just
cool. Well,
they're the best all around team in the NBA.
Oh, I agree
with you. All around team.
And Granger will be back.
Yeah.
And that'll give him an extra little score there. You know what I mean? I just wonder if he's going to shoot too much, because he does tend to just fire up threes too much. But when he's hot, you know, he can give you the extra points you need. But they play defense.
Yeah.
They play team ball. You get a guy like Hansborough, who nobody thought would pan out in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Does give you exactly the type of effort and all that in the NBA. And I know a lot of college fans hate Hansborough because they said, you know, all the calls and this and that. But, you know, he's a guy you want on your team, a grinder, doesn't care that he only gets 20 minutes a game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a huge, huge Indiana fan.
Really?
So when we talk about the East, you know, you look at the Knicks. Now you got – this crazy injury with Chandler where he was going to get an MRI on his knee, and I was got a bulging disc in his neck. Nobody knew anything was wrong with his neck, you know? So now he's got something wrong with his neck. You know, Kirk Thomas is hurt. He's out another couple weeks or whatever he is. You know, we already talked about Melo. You have his knee, which he says will never be better. You have Amari out for the season. You know, people were all over how great Jason Kidd played at the beginning of the year. And I knew, I'm a huge Jason Kidd fan. I'm a Knicks fan. When I saw him making all those three-pointers at the beginning of the season, I was like, yeah, you wait and see it just stand out.
Yeah.
This guy, I mean, he was called Jason Kidd. He had no J when he played for them.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And now all of a sudden, he's just draining threes in big spots. And I'm like, I'm not going to lie.
No.
And he can't hit a three, you know, from anywhere.
Yeah.
So,
Josh Smith was hitting every shot he threw up at the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he could have missed.
He could not miss. And I do think that guy's a talent. I mean, he's John Stark, 2013 version.
Yeah,
where he can take over a game and put up 40 if he wants, and then
he'll be 0-17 still.
True. Exactly. And now you see what's happened when he's been asked to be the focal point. There's a reason why the Knicks got him so cheap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So when you look at this Eastern Conference, I mean, Boston, everybody wrote him off when they had all their injuries, and they had a crazy amount of injuries. Mm-hmm. And Sullinger was giving them more than they thought. I mean, he went down. Obviously, Rondo, which I'm a huge Rondo fan, what he did. And so even after all that, I mean, they're in there competing for a conference title.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even competing for a division title. You know, they're sitting at the seventh seed right now. But you've got teams bunched up. We won't even need to talk about Miami. But you got, you know, Indiana. You got the Knicks a game and a half behind them. Brooklyn's 2.5 behind Indiana. Then you got your boys, Atlanta, 4.5 behind them, and then you just have, you know, Chicago and Boston. And so within 5 games, that separates the 2-7 seed. So there's going to be a lot of shuffling going on here.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, where do you see it panning out? I mean, who do you see winning that division? Is it going to be New York hanging on? Is it going to be Brooklyn? Is it going to be Boston?
Well, the question is Derrick Rose coming back?
Yeah.
Because if he comes back, I think they're better than Indiana.
Is that right?
I think they could actually, if he ever does come back, he may be so injured this year that, you know, they can't compete. But I think next year they would compete with Miami. He's that good of a player.
Oh, I agree with you. Yeah, no, he's explosive.
Yeah.
And
they're a clear cut number two if he's healthy. Not being healthy said, right now you have to stay Indiana.
Yeah.
Injuries, Knicks, too many injury problems. We all love the Nets. But there was Joe Johnson jump shot, you know, away from losing to Orlando.
Now, as a guy who's not a Nets fan, but yeah, I watched, I mean, it's just so ridiculously frustrating. And sometimes I had to step back and say, all right, just be happy for what you have. I mean, look at what they've been the last 3 years, what you have now. Be happy with what you have. I mean, they're going to be settled into a 4 or 5 seed.
Sounds like a gym.
Be happy with it. Well, the funny thing is, I compared them. I said, you know, and this is what they have. They don't have a lot of room to grow, really.
Yeah.
I mean, you thought you were going to. I was so high on your boy, Marshawn Brooks. He is just, he's off the reservation how bad he is. You know, Humphreys is, they got him for another year at $12 million. He's not even in the rotation anymore.
No.
Not even in the rotation.
Yeah.
You got contributions from guys like Andre Blatch and Reggie Evans, you know, at least rebounding-wise, Reggie Evans is the best rebounder in the league. And it's like close.
Uh-huh.
But so you got some contributions from guys like that, but then, you wonder, are we just going to settle in? And I said it 2 weeks ago. We're going to be the Atlanta Hawks of the last 5 years. Always in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Always a mid, you know, 3-60.
Yeah. And I don't know if we're going to buy enough just to keep them in the playoffs.
Which, and as I step back, why am I complaining about that?
Yeah.
You're in a playoff. You know, maybe you make a run. LeBron gets hurt 1 year and this kind of thing. I mean, I should be happy with this. I mean, right or wrong?
Before the year started, if you told me I was a 4 seed right now, I'd be ecstatic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have so many bad losses that you're frustrated. You're like, how can we lose these teams? But still, if you step back right now and you look at it, I'm the 4 seed, I'd be really happy right now. Because especially where they've been the last couple of years.
Yeah.
There were games last year I couldn't watch. I couldn't finish watching the Knicks.
Yeah.
So this year, I mean, as a Nets fan, I'd be happy. I think it's a process. I don't think you just go to the 1 or 2 seed right away. I think you have to go through your growing spurts of losing a first round or two. The problem is anybody ever going to beat Miami?
Well, I know. That's the thing.
Is anybody ever going to beat them? Is it worth going for it for a couple of years?
Well, they fall off. The Nets are settled in. Their roster is their roster. There's not a lot of flexibility there. I mean, Jarrett Wallace is signed for 3 more years. They got Joe Johnson, who is exactly what he said. He's like, you're going to there's going to be times when you're like, this guy's going to be very good, and there's going to be times when you hate him. And there were times where he's just like, where is Derek? He's not on the net.
No. He's just running up and down the floor.
Darren Williams is my least favorite player of any of my favorite teams.
Really? I like him.
Oh, I hate him.
Yeah.
Can't stand him.
Really?
Can't stand him one bit.
Uh-huh.
If you do want to chime in at all, you can give us a call. Our call number is 347-637-2306. Talk about anything we've talked about tonight. We still got to get to the Knicks a little bit. We do have some callers waiting on hold patiently, so I want to get out to them. We're going to go out here to line number one. You're on with the Tri-State Sports Guys. Who's this?
Mike, David Libertor calling.
Dave Lynch, you just missed our NCAA talk, brother.
I just got home.
Well, you're a busy guy. What are you doing?
Just watching college basketball, running around, getting brackets. You know, doing all that stuff.
Well, Dave, we broke down our final four pick. I got Paco with me filling in because he's a huge college basketball fan, so I thought it'd be great to have him in. I know you're a big Indiana fan, but I'm going to go out on a limb. I, knowing you like I know you, and you've called in the show, you write on our board, you're a great fan of the show, which is great. I got a hunch you're not going to pick Indiana to win this championship.
No. I'm not. The thing is, they lucked out with their region. They really did. If they were in any of the other regions, I would say they have no shot of going to Atlanta. I say there is a small shot at going to Atlanta because there's a team that beats Indiana is a big physical team that slows the ball down. Cody Zeller really doesn't have a lot of help down low. So if you're a big team that, crashes the offensive boards, slows the pace down, you can beat Indiana. And Tom Crean, the Indiana coach, is not a great X's and O's guy. He's a recruiter. So I would say a team like Wisconsin, they'd have no chance against. A team like Minnesota, they would have no chance against. A team like Louisville, they would have no chance against. I don't know how they beat Michigan State twice. But I do think Indiana has a good chance of getting to the Final Four because the path drawn for them is one of the easiest. However, I don't think they're going to win at all, especially since Obama gave them the kiss of death today and picked them.
Oh, I know you weren't happy about that one. Yeah, that's the kiss of death. So
yeah,
you
I was not happy
the
about
Miami,
that one.
The Miami hype. I mean, we talked at length about Miami, and Paco and I had a difference of opinions. I mean, he watched them and he liked them the way they play, and obviously likes their coach a lot. But my thing is, they keep pointing to the fact that they got all these seniors, but I think having tournament experience is a huge deal, and they got none of it on that whole roster. They got Larkin and a bunch of seniors. I mean, do you see them being a team that could knock off Indiana? Are you high on Miami?
I am a buy on Miami. Like I said, that East region is kind of wide open. I don't put much stock into Illinois or Colorado, who would be their second Miami's second opponent. And then you got a couple of mid-majors in Butler. And this isn't your big brother's Butler team from a few years ago either. And Bucknell in there. Marquette is tough, but you never know what type of Marquette team is going to show up if they can knock things down. I saw Miami down in person at Florida Gulf Coast this year, which is near Naples, Florida, which is where my parents vacation. And Florida Gulf Coast beat Miami by 12. And I was not impressed with Miami. However, they were missing two starters at the time. Miami, as you said, they have no tournament experience, but they have the oldest starting five in terms of age out of anybody in the NCAA tournament. And like I said, the draw is favorable. Come on, they beat Duke by 20-something. They beat Carolina by 20-something. They won the ACC tournament. I think if anybody should have got the one seed, it was Miami. So I see them going to a regional final.
All right. So who do you got as your final four here, Dave?
Well, something interesting, Mike. I'm not a big bracket guy. You want to know why? And this could be a subject for another time. Louisville plays North Carolina A&T, correct?
Yeah.
Who do you root for Louisville to win just because you have them going far in your bracket? No. Give me North Carolina A&T. Screw the bracket. Do you know what I'm saying? If you're watching, if you're not rooting for your team, if you're watching Kansas versus Western Kentucky, and if you're rooting for Kansas to go just because you have them in your bracket, then you don't understand the NCAA tournament. Would you agree with that?
I 100% agree with you. We did talk a little bit about the kind of quandary that you have, because you know you got the basically the reason why March Madness is so big, a guy like me will watch, is because I got a couple brackets going and I want to win a few bucks. And so you're exactly right. But if as far as being a pure sports fan, you're right. Why the hell am I rooting for Louisville? You know, I'm a UConn fan. I want the Big East to do well, but it's like, you know, why would I not want to see that? But you're going to have millions of people across the country devastated if that upset occurs. And that's why, you know, the 16th team has never won, but nobody wants to see a 16th seed win because nobody picked them.
That's exactly right. Oh, my brackets are busted. Oh, no, the 16th seed. That's what March is about. As long as your school is not the Goliath getting taken down by David, everything's okay. But going back to the picks, first of all, Mike, you watch college basketball like many, probably just in March. And let me tell you something. I am at no advantage, believe me, since I watch college basketball all year round. Believe me, I filled out brackets before. The person who just picks them up in March and, you know, is a novice college basketball fan, you can't – they do better than I do because I tend to pick trendy picks, teams I've seen this year on TV or in person. But if you just stuck with the one seeds, two seeds, three seeds, and four seeds with the chalk, as they say, you're going to do just fine in your bracket. So that's a preface to my pick. So take this with a grain of salt. I'm a big Tom Izzo fan. He gets the most out of his teams in March. Their team is built for the long haul. So I see Louisville and Michigan State meeting in the region of death, I call it. When those brackets came out, I said, wait a sec, Louisville's the number one overall seed, and they've got Duke, Michigan State, the Pac-12 champion Oregon State in there, Colorado State, which leads the nation in rebounding, believe it or not, St. Louis, who's awesome and I'm really high on lately. That region is just loaded, so they didn't do Louisville any favors. So I see Louisville, Michigan State in that regional final with Louisville, who I think is the best team in the country, coming out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go down to the West. I'm going to the Final Four, by the way, which is really exciting, whether Indiana wins or not. I hope they're there, but you never know. The West is a bracket that's filled with teams who like to just slow the game down to a halt, to a grind. That's the bracket I'm glad Indiana is not in. You might see some 45-44 scores in there. Shoot, Pittsburgh, Wichita State, the first one to 36 might win the game. Coming out of that bracket, look for Belmont to make a little run. I'm not high on Arizona at all. Ohio State can go a long way. And when it comes to everything, I'm going to stick with the chalk in that region and go with Gonzaga. I know a lot of people are upset that they got a one seed, but how could you be the number one team in the nation in the polls and not get a one seed?
All right, I agree with you there, but it is amazing that everybody loves, all the bracket people loved Gonzaga, you know, for the last decade because they were the team you wanted to pick early on, and now this is the one seed, everybody hates them.
That's right, and Mike, you want to hear something funny is, Gonzaga, since they made that incredible run to the Elite Eight in 1999, where they lost to eventual national champion UConn, they came on the national stage in 99. They have not made it past the Sweet 16 in 99. Gonzaga, Pittsburgh, and Wisconsin, I was looking this up, are the three most overseeded teams by how they do in the NCAA tournament. Since the year 2000. And they're all in the top half of the West bracket. Amazing. Pittsburgh, think of all the Big East championships they've won. All the home games in a row. They've never made it to a Final Four. Wisconsin, Big Ten champions. Bo Ryan wins 90-something straight home games. They made it to a Final Four without Ryan the year before he got there in 2000. And Gonzaga, never a Final Four. Even though this is a jumbled bracket that's wide open, I do have the one seed, just like Louisville, coming out in that region, and I have Gonzaga beating Louisville in one semifinal.
Okay.
Going over to the South. People are down on Michigan, and I don't think they should be. The key to Michigan is, can they hit the three-pointers? They take so many three-pointers. They don't have a good inside game, but if they hit the threes, they can make some noise. I think they're going to beat South Dakota State, even though they have the highest score in the nation, and Nate Walters. I think they're going to beat Shaka Smart and VCU because they have the guards to do so. I think they're going to make a run to the regional final, but they're going to lose to a Florida team that I saw play a couple times this year in person. Florida is, you know, just one of those teams that might have peaked too early. They struggled down the stretch, particularly on the road. But I'm a big Billy Donovan fan when it comes to the NCAA tournament. So I have the 3 seed in Florida coming out of that region. And the bottom region, not because I like them, believe me, I'm a big pessimist. You know me. I really think Indiana has a pretty easy road. I think they're going to get by the NC State Temple winner. I think Montana could actually beat Syracuse. And if Indiana does end up playing Syracuse, I think a zone, which Boeheim lives by, fits right into Indiana's hands. Indiana's a team that shoots from the outside, and that's not a type of team you want to play zone defense against. How did UNLV get a 5 seed in Cal at 12? I have no idea, but that's another story for another day. And in the bottom half, yeah, I have Indiana beating Miami, Florida, and Indiana going to the Final Four, where they will take on Florida. And I think Florida just has too much experience, especially at the guard play, to beat Indiana. And so in an all-Patino and a Patino disciple and Billy Donovan championship, the teacher beats the mentor. Patino and Louisville over Florida and Donovan for the national championship game.
Two province college coaches. Well, there you go. As Paco said, two province college coaches. You know, me and Paco both took Louisville. I had Louisville going up against Indiana, actually, which, you know, it might be a second kiss of death for you. But, Louisville, you know, like I said, it seems like the chalk pick, and a lot of people like Louisville this year. But I'm with you. I got to go with Louisville.
You know, it's hard. You know, when you fill out a bracket, you want to say, no, I don't want to go with one seed. But when you come right to it, you look at the winning percentages of seeds over the year, it falls right in line. More one seeds have been in Final Fours than anybody. More one seeds have been in national championship games than anybody. And I even though that's the region of death, as I call it, the Midwest, they're playing so well now. Look at their one loss in the last month and a half. It was in 5 overtimes at Notre Dame. Their backcourt of Russ Smith and Siva are just playing very well now. They have Dang in the inside. Patino's a great March coach. And I don't know, it's just hard. Louisville and Indiana were 1-2 at the start of the year in the national polls. Indiana was 1, Louisville was 2. Mike, I don't think you can go wrong with your picks with having those as a championship. The ironic thing, guys, would be after this season of upsets, of chalk losing, of so much turmoil at the top of the polls, watch it be a tournament of all the top seeds advancing. It would just be ironic to say.
Yeah, and I could see that happening for sure. And as Paco mentioned, a lot of these teams, these big-time teams were losing on the road. You get to the, you know, the tournament, and that all goes out the window, and the best teams tend to win. So, well, Dave, thanks for calling in, buddy. I hope you call in next week. We'll recap where everything, you know, pans out after the first weekend of craziness. But, you know, good luck to your Indiana Hoosiers, brother, all right?
They're going to need it. All right. Thanks, Mike.
All right, Dave. Talk to you soon. All right, that's Dave Lippitor calling in from Norwalk. He's a big-time college basketball fan, so I'm glad he called in. Just to get back to the NBA quick, where do you see things happening? You got Miami number 1, Indiana number 2. Did the Knicks hang on and win that division to get the 3 seed?
I don't know. Right now, with the injuries, one more player goes down, they're in a lot of trouble.
I agree with you. They have so many problems. Maybe it's just a pessimistic Nets fan to me, but the Nets can't win when it's right there for them.
Yeah,
it's right there for them to take, and then it's like, are you going to – is Boston really going to win that conference, this division this year? Can they? I don't know.
Believe in Boston.
Yeah, I don't believe in them either. You know what I mean? They're old, too, and,
yeah.
You know, they got, you know, Pearson Garnett could do some magic, but
they should have traded those guys in the deadline.
They could get Jeff Green dropping 43 like he did the other night, then, all right, that's what they got, that's what they traded for.
Yeah.
They traded Perk, but, I still got the Knicks hanging on, but I predicted it January 1st, they're not making it out of the first round.
Yeah.
They're done there.
Really?
Yeah, I think they're a one-and-done team, which would be nothing better.
The NBA is going to be interesting this year in the East, because you don't know who's going to play Miami in the finals. We don't know if it matters, but right now the clear-cut top four teams are Miami, Denver, San Antonio, and OKC. How can you argue with that?
Yeah.
Those teams are unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's clear-cut above everybody else.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so the West is going to be more exciting, but as an East fan,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's almost like the East is – that first round of the East is going to be crazy. Other than the Miami, the 1-8 game, the rest is going to be insane.
There are going to be some wars in there because none of those teams are really that good, but one of them going to get to the East Conference Finals.
Yeah, one of those teams is going to
play over their head.
Are you – lastly, about the East, I mean, are you surprised? The Hawks are sitting in the 5 seed right now.
Shocked.
Are you shocked?
I don't think they're going to make the playoffs.
They were ready to dump Josh Smith for – I mean, the talk was Marshawn Brooks. Humphreys and a pick.
I don't know how they're winning. I don't
care, brother.
I don't even know the shot.
You got to be just thrilled, though.
Yeah. Well, I believe if Joe Johnson was still there, they're the 2 seed right now.
Yeah.
I can't see how they're not. I couldn't. There's no way. They'd be definitely a 2 seed. With the experience of being in the playoffs the last couple of years, they've learned how to win on the road. And getting, you know, they had to get dumped Joe Johnson, but. You know, right now you're looking at it. Maybe they shouldn't have. Maybe they should have been the 2 seed. The best they would have done in
yeah.
the Dominican.
I know. And you're right. You get into the playoffs.
You never know.
Great. Yeah, maybe some other random team knocks off Miami or
yeah.
Brown gets hurt.
They're going to bang LeBron's mom again.
Yeah, there you go. Well, think of that. I mean, are the Knicks going to get the Lonte West? They're talking Lonte West. Is coming to
wow.
That would be great. I would love to have him. I'd love him and his neck tattoos. To be at Madison Square Garden every night. I love that guy.
Can I ask you this question off the topic?
Yeah.
Right now, because LeBron is just so good. I want to know your opinion. Kobe or LeBron, over their careers?
Over the course of their careers?
Yeah, right now. It's a topic that
has
never been talked about more often than right now is LeBron, Kobe, and Jordan. Everybody's talking about it every week.
Well, at this point,
they're all talking about,
to me, it's kind of annoying. Like when Jordan turned 50, all of a sudden now we have to just celebrate him all over.
Yeah.
To me, I still put, so you're saying right now, NBA dissolved.
Their career. Yeah.
Careers are over.
They're done.
I'll be honest with you. I mean, career-wise, I mean Kobe's had a better
hard
career.
Yeah.
But I always play it as if I'm up in heaven and I got all, you know, I got to pick who I'm picking. I'm picking LeBron over Kobe.
Are you?
Yeah.
I'm picking Kobe.
You're picking Kobe?
I love Kobe.
I'm saying, why does
everybody hate Kobe?
I don't know. I picked him over Magic. We had a thing about top Lakers, and I had him over Magic.
Yeah.
I think that's how good Kobe is. I think LeBron is just so. I've never seen a season like LeBron this season, where it's just so efficient.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, it's amazing what he's doing, and he's been doing that. I mean, remember that playoff game in Cleveland? We scored the last like 25 points.
Yeah.
If I'm picking a team for a season up in heaven, it's prime of your career against prime of your career, I'm still taking LeBron.
Okay.
If you're going to say who would have a better career, you still have to say Kobe from what he's accomplished. But, that's a good debate. The Jordan debate still years away. I still think Jordan is a different thing. But let's turn this over. We got 5 minutes left here. I'm going to get your opinion about the Yankees a little bit.
All right.
We only got 5 minutes. Now the woes continue. I've been singing the woes of the Yankees since the first time we talked about it in Super Bowl Sunday, we were talking about.
Yeah.
And I said, this is telling you, it's the beginning of the end right now. The beginning of the end of this run. They got these big contracts they can't get out of. They want to get under this $189 million soft cap, so they're not going to be adding these people. Obviously, you got Granderson. Sharon might be out for the season. Well, I don't think he will be, but there's a possibility for that. Jeter had to get a cortisone shot today in his ankle.
Mm.
I mean, things are really spiraling out of control in the Bronx. Now, what are your thoughts? I mean, again, Francesca, a month ago, was talking about over-under. Oh, they're going to be 90-something wins. And everybody's calling in. I think they're not going to win more than 84 games.
Yeah.
He was laughing at him. Vegas got him 86.5. So the simple question is, over-under 86.5 for you for the New York Yankees this year?
Under. Right now. Well, I don't get about the Yankees. And this is one of the years I'm looking forward to more than the past years. I've been waiting for them to not have a stud at every position.
Yeah.
My question is, what's been going on in the minor leagues for the last 10 years? Because all the guys that have been hurt have been playing. Somebody's got to be backing these guys up. There's nobody on the bench. Brendan Bosch is their best player to bench.
Yeah, right.
I mean, come on. I just don't understand how you have a minor league team. How many minor league teams have? 8 now? You don't have anybody come up through the process.
That's right. Because they have some first baseman down there sitting in double A.
Yeah.
30 home runs in double A.
How much money are you wasting on these teams?
It amazes me. Now, that leads me to my next question. So with all this thing going on with Teixeira Teixeira is really going to be out for the season.
Mm-hmm.
To me, the logical answer is move Youkilis to first base and let Eduardo Nunez play third base.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all these fears now that, oh, he can't play NBA third base and this and that. And why – this is a guy you wouldn't trade. Remember, he was untouchable a few years ago.
Yeah.
Why do you still have him in your organization? If you don't ever see him
being
an everyday infielder,
mm-hmm.
what do you have on your team
He's
for?
Terrible, man.
Then why do you have him? If people – other teams want him, trade him.
I mean, he's got to be the worst defense player I've ever watched in baseball.
Yeah, I've never seen
that. He's terrible, let's be honest. I thought the spring training game the other day, first round ball again.
Then why not put him in left field?
That's
what I don't understand about the Yankees is there is no plan. You talk about they don't have people down in the minors. Well, you have this guy, Eduardo Nunez, who can hit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy, he's got every day. He can bat 290 with 50 home runs, steals 20 bases. He could be a really productive offensive player.
Mm-hmm.
Why not put him in left field?
What is his
future with the Yankees? You are, I think, rightly addressed the fact that he can't play the field. Is he really going to take over for Jeter when he retires? You're going to hang on to him. Jeter's still going to play another 3, 4, 5 years.
You're not going
to
trust him.
You're going to hang on to this guy who's 30 and be like, oh, now you're the third day. It's shortstop? I mean, it's insane.
But they trust him to hit last year because they used him to keep times in the playoffs last year. So they believe in him.
Yeah,
they
go run. They big home run.
But now they're still not going to play him, even all the other guys go down.
It's like, what do you want to do? And the argument is, well, he's not a prototypical corner guy. He doesn't have the power.
Mm-hmm.
Look, you have a guy at second base who puts up non-prototypical second base numbers. So now you change it. You put up traditional second base numbers at third base, but you have a guy playing second. I mean, if you don't want to give him the opportunity to play third base, even if it's a short term, even if you assume Teixeira comes back middle of May, he's out 6 weeks, why not give Eduardo Nunez every day, let him play third base? Maybe he'll surprise us, and third base is something he can do.
Mm-hmm.
If he's got good hands, he just can't. It's like he just makes stupid errors.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, very stupid. Yeah, exactly.
And you're just like,
reminds me, I mean, obviously, they didn't have the same hitter, but Dave Ray, when he was young,
yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
He makes 25 errors. You're like, what are you doing?
Where did that come from?
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't understand that. And it's not something people even talk about.
Useless,
better first base, and let him play first base.
Yeah.
And then if Teixeira comes back and Nunez doesn't go, then put Euclid back at third base. But they're all trying to mismatch that. Juan Rivera played first base, all these things.
Nobody's worse. Nobody's worse.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I don't get it. That was a terrible pickup. I don't understand that.
Well, who knows? I like the Brennan Box. Maybe he'll do something for you. Well, Papa, I really appreciate you coming in. We had some technical difficulties, but we muscled our way through it. We both got Louisville. Dave Lids called in. He's got Louisville.
Yeah.
Don't
take Louisville.
Yeah, anything from these last 90 minutes, do not take Louisville. It's 100% not going to pan out. Check us out on TriStateSportsGuys.com, Facebook.com/TriState, and @TriState_Sports on Twitter. We'll check you out next week. Thanks.
That's fun.